The following audio is from Sand Hills Community Church. More information about Sand Hills Community Church is available at www.sandhillschurch.org.
So graduating is a big deal, and it's a big transition. If you remember what that transition was like, if you're thinking back in your days, you're like, yes. And some of you are like, oh, that was a rough time. And other people are like, it was good and bad. And there's a lot of experiences and thoughts that go through our mind. Here's what we realize. A lot of students who grow up in the church, who go off to college, they stop attending church. And their faith kind of struggles is a good word for it. What we believe, though, is that if we could stay connected to them and encourage them when they leave us, whether it's going to the workforce, going off to college, or even going in the military, if there's a way that we could stay connected to them, that they have a better chance of living out their faith or finding a place. And so here's what we did this last year. We did a thing called a launch project. There it is. And so here's what we're doing. We're asking you as adults if you'd be willing to sponsor a graduating senior, meaning that you would be willing to build a relationship, encourage, send them, you know, gifts. Maybe their favorite thing is chocolate chip cookies, and they're getting ready to, you know, cram for midterms or whatever. But you'd be willing to do that for them. You'd be willing to send them a pizza. You'd be willing to say, "Hey, how are you doing? Is there anything going on that you need to talk to somebody about?" Because sometimes it's easier to talk to somebody else that loves you rather than mom and dad who are paying the bills. Now, those who graduated and they are in our ministry, their small group leader is tracking with them too. So if we could get every senior have two adults who are, I'm staying connected with you for these next 9 to 12 months to make sure that you get handed off well and that you still think about Jesus, move toward Jesus, and get you handed off into another church or another ministry that'll help you grow. We think that that's something that we can do as a church to help the next generation win when they go off to college or what's next. And so if you'd be willing to do that, text the keyword called launch project to 97000. You'll get a little link to a form to fill out. Take you 3 minutes. And then we'll be in contact with you in a few weeks and start setting that up. Now, seniors, if you want this, because we're not just going to force it, if you're a senior and you want it, you need to also sign up. Where's your phones? I don't see them. Just kidding. All right, yeah, you sit down. Go ahead. Go ahead. Sit down. Yeah, I know them. Okay. All right. So, senior launch project. Help us help them to win with what's next. So it is Senior Sunday or Student Sunday, and so it's going to be a fun time. We have been going through this idea of margin, right? Making room for what's important. Pastor Jeff started this whole process a few weeks ago, talking about life only has certain parameters. There's only so much you can pack in, and that we have to be careful what we pack in, because what we pack in, we might leave something out that's really critical and really important. Last week, we talked about money. Financially, what do we pack in? How much margin do we create with our finances? And most of us live beyond our margin, and our expenses are outpacing our income. And so he talked about, hey, we need to learn how to cut things. We need to learn how to say no to things. We need to get on a budget that tells us what we should and shouldn't do, that helps us to figure out what is most important, using a budget to do that. And so tonight, or today, this morning, we're going to go a little bit different direction on this. We're going to talk about some principles of what we need to pack in our bags that I think are some of the most important things that we should be putting in our bag. Rather than talk about what needs to be cut, we're going to talk about what should be put in. Now, because this is Student Sunday, I am the family pastor, so some of what I'm going to talk about is really directed toward parents, right? But everything I'm going to talk about applies to you, whether if you're single, married, no kids, married with your kids out of the house, yes, and whatever. Wherever you are, what I'm going to talk about applies to you. So don't check out. Stay plugged in, because this is going to be awesome. All right? I really believe it. Now, many of us have heard of Jesus, the greatest commandment. Now, here's something about this that's really important. Because as we talk about making room for what is most important, we need to know what is most important. correct? So, Jesus, maybe, there we go. Jesus says this about what's most important, because the ruling class said, hey, the religious ruling class said, Jesus, what's the most important commandment out of the 630-something commands? He says this, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depends all the law and the prophets. So Jesus is summing up 630-something laws and to what is the greatest thing, the most important thing I should be doing. I should be loving God with every part of who I am. My mind, my body, my thoughts, everything about me, my heart, the essence of who I am. All of me should be loving God. And I should be loving other people as I like to be loved. All right? Most important thing. Now, what's interesting, 1,400 years before this, there was a guy named Moses. All right? Most of us know who Moses is. Right before the Israelites were getting ready to go in the promised land, Moses is giving some declarations to the people of Israel before they go in. And here's what he says. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk with them when they sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. You shall be as the frontals between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. So we see a theme, 1,400 years in between. Jesus affirms Moses saying the most important thing, love God with all that you are, to love others. Deuteronomy has a little twist to it. Moses says, but it's important because we need to love God, but we have to do something else with that love because we need to show and teach others what that looks like because it's not just for us. And so today we're going to be talking about, I think, five principles that will help us to put what's most important into our bags. And so since Pastor Jeff started this illustration and he's my boss, I'm going to grab this bag over here. There we go. All right. Boom. All right. So we have a bag. And what's, you know, we've been talking about the idea of packing our bags, unpacking our bags. What do we put in our bags? Blah, blah, blah. So I do realize that socks is a big thing with Jeff. So I just thought, I just packed some in here for him. But there's five things I think should be in your bag. Not just five things, but five kind of critical things. All right? And the first one is this. We'll get there. Boom. Maybe. There we go. It's called widen the circle. Boom. All right. We need to widen the circle. What does widen the circle mean? It means this. Pursue strategic relationships for you, for your kids, your family. Now, we sometimes don't think about this strategically, about friends, but it's hugely important. See, because even in the passage of Deuteronomy, when Moses is giving this declaration to this people, he's giving it to all the people. So you think I'll have a whole culture pursuing and loving God, pursuing teaching others about God. So when little Johnny goes over to Barry's house, you're not worried about what Barry's going to be exposed to or what Johnny's going to be exposed to. Because Barry's mom and dad are pursuing God. And they're going to hold Barry, your Johnny's little friend, to pursuing God. And when Johnny's over there, you know that they're going to hold little Johnny to making sure that he's loving God. That's critical. And it's also really relaxing when you have that, right? When you have kids, you know. But here's something that Solomon taught us. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. See, your relationships as an adult or as a student has the power to determine the direction and the quality of your life. Those relationships are critical. So here at church at Sand Hills, we do community groups for adults, right? Why do we do that? Because we know it's important for you to widen your circle, to go in the same direction as other people pursuing God. So we do community groups. Do you know we do community groups basically for every age group in the church? From 3 years old to 18 year old, every environment in the back with this, with our Sand Kids and Sand Kids Junior, and a Virgo 612 on Sunday night, and every retreat that we go on, everything goes to small groups. Helping students have peers going in the same direction, having something common to talk about. Because little Johnny and little Barry are learning the same things about God, gives them something to talk about other than what's the latest music and, hey, look at these shoes and look at this Instagram post. Gives them something to talk about. Now, if you desire, and this is an invitation, let me back up for a second. We desire to help parents find a community that helps them become better parents, okay? And so we are trying to create a small group strategy for parents. But we as staff, like I can only be in one place at one time, right? So I can't be all over the place leading five groups and doing student ministry and so forth. If you'd be interested in helping parents find a place that helps them to expand their circle, to be around parents wanting to go in the same direction, if you'd be interested in helping us lead that or lead a small group and learn how to lead a small group to help parents win, I would love to have a conversation with you. Because parents need to be with other parents trying to figure out how to figure this out. Children are in small groups, like I said before. Every kid needs five adults saying the same thing that mom and dad are saying. They need five adults loving them as Jesus would. And so everything we do goes to small groups. So Paul also said in Corinthians that bad company corrupts good character. So a little side note, don't punish your kids. And this is really close to my heart. If your kid does something, you're going to punish them. Don't punish them from church. Don't punish them from youth activities. Don't punish them from activities that their small groups are doing. Because this is where you want them to be. Okay? Please don't take that away. All right? I plead with you. Don't. Don't do that. All right? So widening circle is critical when it comes to making room for what's most important. Next one. Imagine the end. Imagining the end is this. Focus your priorities on what matters most. All right, let me get my other bag. I pack in bags. I actually really do this in life because it organizes stuff, and I don't know, you know, and because I backpack, and so, or I used to. I'm older now, but it helps put things, keep things together, right? So focus your priorities on what matters most to God. Check this out. Moses, and he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And these words that I command you, you shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children." See, the end doesn't keep going with this. Like, imagine the end is this, is teach them diligently to your children so that they can be first chair in orchestra. They can be the top 10% of their class. Oh, they can get a scholarship to go play sports. Doesn't say that. See, we need to rediscover and redefine success. See, because I think the world has crept into the church and we've accepted what the world says about success. And we have forgotten that what God says about success is different. See, because we need to redefine success this way. For yourself, how do you define success for yourself? And what would God say success for you is? Another one, your kids. Look, your kids, they're great. They're awesome. But they do not have to be happy all the time. Happiness isn't the end. How about this? A life void of failure is not the end for your kids. Now, how do you imagine the end of your relationships? We talked about widening the circle. What are those relationships for? Are they for your pleasure? Are they for just for fun? Are they to help you pursue God? We need to stop listening to what the world says friendship is about. And I'd even say this, your spouse, what is the end? What is it that you are trying to get from them that the world says you should be getting from them rather than that God says you should be giving to them? I can say that because I struggle with this one the most, all right? This is the big one. I struggle with that. Expectations can kill things if they're not the right ones. So when we think about the end, we need to think about it through the lens of God. What matters to God, not what matters to the world, not what matters to your friends, not what matters to what you think your friends will think when your kids look a certain way. When they put their shoes on backwards, or they got pajamas on, or they're not matching when they go to school. Does that matter? Character trumps achievement. Love trumps perfectionism. Grace trumps self-promotion. Ethics trumps job status. Who God has made your kids to be trumps what you want them to be. God's expectations should trump yours. Imagining the end. It's critical when we're making room for what matters most. Number three, fighting for the heart. This is one of the messiest ones of them all. Fighting for the heart is this: create an environment in your home of unconditional love and trust. This is difficult because we like rules. Rules gives us control. But in Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. Matthew 27:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. There is something about the heart that God wants. There's something about the heart that's really important. These two things are saying that the priority over rules is your heart. It doesn't say love the Lord God with all that you know, with all your behavior, with all your actions. Don't do this. It doesn't give a checklist. Starts with the heart first. And the reason why it starts with the heart first is because if you do a study of the heart through Old Testament and New Testament, there's like nine areas that our hearts actually control and are a part of. Like we wrestle with truth in our heart. We actually have commitments. We make commitments in our heart. We experience emotions in our heart, which we already know, right? But we can feel close to others, feel close to God. A place where we feel guilt. The heart is what God wants. But it's hard to parent the heart. It's hard to be a spouse of someone who is doing this. Fighting with versus fighting for. We like to fight with our kids. We like to fight with our spouses. But if we changed our mindset to fighting for them, it could change everything. Winning arguments is not really winning, is it? See, because fighting for the heart is not about being right. It's about transforming them to know God. Like, our whole thing is to help them to know God. Even if it's your spouse. It's not about being right. So, have you ever had an experience with a kid, your own child, maybe someone else's, and you did this anyway, but you saw them doing something that you knew if they kept doing that, oh, it's over. So, I'm going to nip this in the bud, and you react like, oh, I'm bringing the hammer. Boom! Okay, that reaction to stop that behavior, was that to change their heart or to make your life easier? Now, for us, we're saying, no, they don't need to have that behavior. That behavior is going to lead to something destructive or bad, whatever it may be. That may be true. But don't you have behavior that leads to destruction? And has God said, boom? Well, let's dance to that. Okay. Or is he got the long, he's looking at the long range plan, walking with you. See, we have to learn to play the long game with self-confidence and patience with our kids. We got to pick our battles wisely, the ones that matter most. And failure for our kids is more than okay. Nagging them to keep them from failing could be devastating. So fighting for the heart is critical when we're making room for what's most important. Oh, I forgot to pull out the bag. My bad. Red for the heart. Now we're going to talk about creating rhythm. Creating rhythm. This is going to be a fun one. So creating rhythm, to increase the quantity and quality of time you spend with those you love. So when we talk about rhythm, you know, it's right in this passage of Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, these commandments that I give you today are you to put on your hearts, impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Morning time, drive time, meal time, bedtime. There's a daily rhythm wrapped up into this passage. So with your kids, these are opportunities for you to make quality times, to invest in your kids, to have conversations, to talk about important things about God. What did they learn about God at church? Oh, here's an opportunity. Oh, I got that little parent cue thing. We're going to talk about this every night at dinner. Or this. I now am going to have dinner with my kids at a table where we're looking at each other. So we need to create rhythms where we spend time with each other. Now, the rhythm is in this passage. You need to create these rhythms, but the rhythms aren't just daily, they're also weekly. You're in church today, weekly rhythm. What could you do weekly? When your kids get older, it might be really important that monthly, on a monthly rhythm, that you take your kid out to breakfast and just have good conversation. To dive into their world, to listen, to stop talking, because all you're talking, they don't listen to it. By the way, don't you look, when kids start hitting 13 years old, guys, when they start going to the, you know, when they're moving towards freedom, all of your talking is just talking. You have to learn to listen. There's actually a phase of parenting that after 13 years old, we call coaching. Coaching is letting them do stuff, talking about it, back and forth. There's a yearly rhythm. I love the rhythm that God created for the festivals. Festivals in the Old Testament were to take time and to think about God. There's a rhythm that we should have in our lives that should not be dictated by what I'm about ready to say, and this is my soapbox. Should not be dictated by year-round sports. Should not be dictated about year-round anything. So a recent study showed that year-round sports, elite athletics, athletics that are designed, AAU sports and so forth, to take your kid and put them in the best possibility to be successful in college, blah, 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 blah. The 2 out of every 10 families that do this spend $1,000 a month for a kid. $1,000 a month. This is a $17 billion business. Another study, Families in Sports Lab study, showed that families spend 2 to 5% of their income per kid per sport. Now, if you invested that money from between 8 and 18, did you pay for 2 kids to go to college? I mean, what are we doing? And it is not unheard of. And this is, I did some research on this. This blew me away. It is not unheard of for families who actually take their family. I have a job here, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I'm going to sell my house, get a new job in this new community where the elite sport program is better for my child. What? Your vacation wraps around your kids. At 8 years old. So the rhythms that you make are really important. And here, for what purpose? To have fun? Are you trying to get them? Are you trying to... Okay. Little pet peeve, don't live through your kids. Your disappointments and your regrets, don't push them to do stuff because you wish you would have done it. Just let them be them. Let them be them. By the way, scholarship athletes, only 2% of all these tens of thousands of kids who are playing soccer or baseball, only 2% get scholarships. And out of that 2%, almost 100% of them don't get a full scholarship. It's partial. And then out of that 2%, only 2% of them ever go to anything else. So create a rhythm for something that matters more. And that's loving each other, having a relationship that matters. So making room, creating a rhythm, making room for what matters most. Number five, make it personal. It's a little bag. And it's a little bag because I think it's the one that gets pushed out the most. The idea is this. Put yourself first when it comes to spiritual growth. I think it's the one that's easily pushed aside, especially if you're a parent. Because when you're taxi driving your kids everywhere, trying to do work, trying to do laundry, go to the grocery store, cook, you know, your dinners and prepare everything, where's the time for you? Spiritual growth is incredibly important in this journey. Whoops, back up a second. When we're looking at the Deuteronomy passage in chapter 6, it reminds us that the very first thing, the most important thing, is that we are to love God first. That loving God first is the most critical piece of all of this. Because here's the thing. If you do not love God or you're not growing in your relationship with God, how will you know the fullness of God's grace for your life? And if you don't put your personal growth first, your journey first, how are you going to love other people well? If you don't put your personal growth first, what will you be able to teach and pass on to your kids? And if you don't put your personal growth and your spiritual growth first, how will you love and accept yourself when things aren't going well? Because things aren't going to go well. Your kids are not going to do what you want them to do. Your spouse isn't going to do what you want them to do. Your government, your blah, blah. If you fill in the blank, your boss, they're not going to do what you want them to do. So how are you going to deal with that if you're not taking care of yourself? I was an ocean lifeguard for about 7 years on the coast of Florida. We had one simple rule when you were in the water. Always put yourself first. So you're in the middle of a rescue, and we had piers, and we had places where there was rocks, and so you had surfers or kids who'd go out on a boogie board. Oh, they go catch the waves by the pier. It's bigger. Ooh, and then they smash up. Right? So we had to go get them. And there's times where waves are breaking. And if you're saving someone, the most important thing you could do when you were getting ready to make contact into a pier piling or rocks was to put the victim between you and that. Sounds harsh, but here's the thing. If I get hurt when I am making a rescue to save someone's life, it just compounds the problem big time. Now let's put that into your family. If you're not putting yourself first when it comes to growing spiritually, when things go awry, it's going to compound everything. If you're not stable, if you don't know how to think, if you don't know how to live, it's going to compound everything because things aren't going to go well. Rocks are coming. You have to take care of yourself. So you might need to figure out a new hobby. You might need to tell your kids, no, you know what? We're not playing all these sports anymore. You get to choose one. And oh, by the way, you can't do sports, music, drama, dance, fill in the blank. I don't know. We're picking one. You may need to quit your job. I don't know. Radical. I recently converted a closet, a little space for me in my house, for have a little sacred space. Be something like that. Or maybe you just need to go for a walk on a regular basis. I don't know what you need to do, but you might. You need to do something. You need to do something. So making it personal is critical for making room for what's most important. Now, why is this important? It's important because what you pack in your bag also gets packed in theirs. Your kids' bags are being packed by the very things you're packing in your bag. You replicate who you are and what you do. So what you're putting into here trickles down into here. So this is vital for the next generation. If you're a grandparent, If you're single and you have nieces and nephews, what you put in your bag can determine what happens here. We don't need to have excuses. We need to widen the circle and pursue strategic relationships. We need to imagine the end and focus our priorities on what matters most to God. We need to fight for the heart and create an environment in our home of unconditional love and trust, not a bunch of rules. Create a rhythm to increase quantity of quality time that you spend with those you love, and you need to make it personal and put yourself first, because the pattern of the world is not this pattern. Romans 12 says this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, and some translations say to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So, in order to know what to make room for, we need to get our cue from Scripture and not the world. It's time for us to make room for what matters to God and not the world. You pray with me? Heavenly Father, help us to love you, to know you, to do what we need to do to make things, to make room for what is most important. Lord, we need you. Give us wisdom, give us courage. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Sandhills Community Church. Feel free to share this with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information, please visit our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.